Tonight's scripture comes from Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Your knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw me, my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is the word of our Lord.
Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we ask that you would be with us in a very special way as we share your word together. God, one more time, we need you to fill up our words with your word, that we might hear your voice, that we might see your glory, that we might be transformed by your love and your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Any of you who have come to this service any number of times probably are aware of the fact that I absolutely love the Psalms. I spent a couple years of my life after a very rocky time where that's almost all I read was the Psalms, because in the Psalms we just find this amazing combination of every human emotion we could ever feel. And at the same time, these continual reminders of who God is, these continual glimpses, if you will, into the character of God. And so I love the Psalms. As a matter of fact, I used to read a psalm a day, and then I didn't for a while. And about 6 months ago, I started a little calendar program that lets me read through the book of Psalms once a month, which is really, really cool, because the more you read them, the more you find these treasures. And I was reading Psalm 139 probably a couple months back, and it just hit me what a perfect Lenten psalm this is. And I love that, because David wrote this psalm way, way, way before Jesus walked on the earth, and certainly way before Jesus walked the path to Calvary. And yet God's word is timeless, and so he can use even these before Jesus writings to speak his truth into our heart. And so David the psalmist starts out saying, God, you have searched me and known me. And sometimes these words are so familiar we just gloss right over them. So I'm going to say it for you one more time. Oh God, you have searched me and known me. Jaw-dropping. The God of the universe, the creator of all things, the Holy of Holies, the God who always was, who is, and is to come, knows me, knows you, is familiar with all our ways. when Joan Kenya is here and she prays, I love when she prays for a situation or a person and she says, God, you know all about her. God, you know all about him. And those are true words. That's what David reminds us, reminds himself in the psalm, that God knows all about us. And we see a glimpse of God's omnipresence, that big theological term that just means God's everywhere. Because David says, where can I go that you aren't God? If I go up to heaven, surely you're there. If I make my bed down in the depths of the earth, even there you are. If I go to the far side of the sea, if I ride on the morning sun, even there you'll still be. And in the darkness, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me, even darkness is as light to you. There's nowhere we can go away from God's presence, even though sometimes we think we can, or sometimes we try to. There's nowhere we can go. And then after that jaw-dropping thought that the God of the universe, who is everywhere, who owns everything we see, knows us and knows all about us, which is just about the time we start trembling, right? Because it means God sees into the deepest depths of our heart, where we hide all the garbage that we don't want anybody else to see, all the stuff that's behind our church face. He knows it all. And then David reminds us that God knit us together in our mother's womb. While we were yet unformed, God formed us. And we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Sometimes it's hard to believe that with our imperfections, when we see our faults, when we see our sin, when we see our brokenness. We forget that we're created in the image of God and we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We forget that God knit us together. He designed us. He created us. And some of us were born into families of origin that loved us desperately. And we knew that. And some of us were born into families of origin where they weren't able to love us as easily. But David reminds us here that there are no mistakes. There are not one of us that was born unseen, unknown, uncreated by God. So even if you have spent your whole life feeling like a mistake, feeling unloved, feeling unworthy, David says, no, 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 that's not true. God says, no, 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 that's not true. I don't make mistakes. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you are precious and valuable because you are created in my image. And so after all of that, after being reminded that this awesome God who created us, who formed us, who made us so fearfully and so wonderfully, knows us and loves us, and that he never is away from us, that he is always with us. After establishing all those facts, then David prays this Lenten prayer. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any offensive, any wicked way in me, and lead me in the everlasting. Because Lent is a time of reflection. It's a time of self-examination. But as David points out here, even better, it's a time of God examination. It's a time when we're all too aware of our fallenness and our frailty and our sinfulness. And yet at the same time, aware of the depths of God's love, as Lent points us right to Calvary, where God showed us with no question how deep his love was for us, that he would sacrifice the life of his son. When I was an active parent, meaning when my children were young particularly, but even when they were a little bit older and still in school, I parented sometimes very deliberately with methods and ways that I had thought out and prayed about, with the eye on raising quality human beings more than well-behaved children. There were things that I did very intentionally. But as I parented also, there were times I did what worked. Throwing away all my great thought and much prayer and my desire for quality human beings, sometimes I just did what brought peace. And after a couple months of letting some things go or just trying to do what worked rather than what was best, I would sometimes glimpse at my kids and see behavior that once I thought was very cute and realize it was incredibly bratty. And I have to stop and look at my parenting and look at what I was letting them get away with and look at where I was being tough, too tough maybe, and look at where I was being way too lenient. All of a sudden, I would get a wake-up call. I don't know if that ever happened to you, even if you're not a parent. Sometimes you get a wake-up call when you see somebody. When my kids were little, one of my very good friends had a friend who had two children. And every time I saw her, she was screaming at the top of her lungs at her children. And every time I saw that, I went, okay, wow, I do not want to be that parent. And when I would catch myself ready to yell, I would picture her and think, wow, I do not want to be that parent who is always screaming. And throughout the course of our lives, we see people, we see events, we see our own behavior. That's a wake-up call where we think we got to take a step back and look at who we are and what we do and what's important to us, not only in our head and in our hearts, but what our life is saying about that. You know, the same thing is true in our spiritual lives. You know, we're where we want to be. We believe in Jesus Christ. We know we're saved by him. We know we're washed clean by his blood. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. We're members of a church, the body of Christ, where we come to worship him. We're on this good path. But, you know, just like I have to with my parenting, sometimes I have to look at my faith and my Christian walk the same way. And I realize that somehow I've become a Pharisee. Or somehow I've gotten in this rut where I'm just going through the motions. And I forget this awesome relationship that God has called me into. Sometimes I live my life by what works. You know what works in the moment, forgetting sometimes the long-term effects of some of my bad choices, some things I do to keep peace or just to get through the day. And that's what I love about Lent, is that it makes us stop. It makes us look. It takes us right back to the cross where we realize the most important part of who we are we find in our relationship to Jesus Christ. I don't know what your life looks like right now. I don't know if everything is going just the way you want it to and you are absolutely satisfied. And if so, God bless you. But if you're feeling a little out of sync, if you're feeling a little dry, if you're feeling like you want a little more, if you're feeling a little tired or a little beat up or a little weary, then you're in the perfect place tonight. You're in the perfect place for this Lenten season. Because what I would love for us to do tonight is to stand together in God's presence, or y'all stand, you can sit together in God's presence. And remember who he is. Remember how awesome he is. Remember how powerful he is. And then remember this, how loved you are by him. You know, in the psalm, David says, you hem me in before and behind. Meaning, you know, you wrap yourself around me, God. You go before me. You keep my rear guard safe. You have your hand on me. That's how God invites us to live our lives. We live our lives like we're walking this path, and when we start getting into trouble, we'll yell and God will throw a life preserver to save us. That's not how God intended us to walk this life. He hems us in before and behind. He has his hand on us, wanting to lead us, wanting to guide us, wanting to spend time with us, wanting to be in relationship with us, wanting us to give him absolute freedom to do his good work in us, to slowly transform us glory from glory from glory to glory into the people that he created us to be. And sometimes we stop and examine ourselves and we see things that get in the way. You know, maybe we're just way too busy and we need to stop and take a breath. Maybe we are just going through the motions, punching in our God time clock, if you will, putting in the right amount of hours and going home. Maybe we're holding on to some garbage in our life, some fear, some anxiety, some unforgiveness, some anger, some bitterness, and it's getting in the way of everything else we do. Maybe we're trying so hard to be the perfect people that God wants us to be that we're not giving him any room to step in with his all-sufficient grace, with his power that's made perfect in our weakness. And maybe we know those things, but maybe we don't. Maybe we just know that we're not who we want to be. Maybe we just know that our relationship with God is not how we want it to be. Maybe we know that 8 days out of 9, we are not feeling the way we want to feel. And I don't just mean by our emotions. I mean in the core of our being, who we are. And we can dissect ourselves and we can reflect on ourselves and we can examine ourselves. And those are all really helpful things. But how much better to stand in the presence of the holy God who loves us and say, here I am, God, naked, if you will. Church face stripped off before you, God. And here's my heart, search it and know it. Here's my anxious thoughts, God. Examine me and see if there's any offensive way in me. See if there's anything in me, God, that's keeping me from what you have for me. Not so we can kick ourselves, not so we can beat ourselves up for not being perfect, not so that we can feel ashamed and disappointed in who we are, but so that God can point it out to us and we can hand it over to him. Carry it for us and wash us clean and reignite us with the fire of his spirit and fill us up again with the passion of our first love. I'm going to pray and I'm going to invite you just to take a couple minutes and sit in the quiet, in the silence, and ask the question, is there anything, God, is there anything in me that's keeping me from what you have for me? Can you show me, God, something I'm holding on to that I need to let go, or something that I need to trust you with, or some situation that I need to invite you into, knowing that you're in the presence of the God who loves you more than you could ever imagine. So God, we ask you tonight to search us and know our hearts, to try us and know our anxious thoughts and see if there's anything in us, God, that we need to turn over to you. Anything in us, God, that we need to let you take away. Do that for us tonight, God. Open our eyes and help us to see what you see in us.